The starting point for this address was noticing that we often use this word, justice, in the church, in hymns, like we are a gentle, angry people, or where is our holy church, in prayers, like our opening words this morning. And I wondered, what do we mean by this word justice? What type of justice are we referring to? Do we all mean the same thing? So today, I'm going to explore what we might mean by justice, and what is this justice that we seek as a community? Of course, the field of justice is quite wide. You'll be glad to know I'm not going to be covering it comprehensively in the next 14 minutes. It stretches from civil justice with the right to privacy and political justice, with the right to vote, to criminal justice and the right to be protected from harm, to economic, social, and cultural justice. Today, I'm going to focus on the latter, on social, economic, and cultural justice. Now, I've been interested in social justice since I was a child. I can blame my father. He was a professor of political philosophy, and he did bring his work home with him. And I can remember arguments around the dinner table in which I vehemently asserted that his making me do the dishes was oppressive and contradictory to his feminist ideals. Needless to say, I always lost the argument and ended up doing the dishes. Nevertheless, certain social justice orientations have followed me through my life. I studied social justice in college and beyond, and eventually obtained a doctorate at UCD's Equality Studies Center. And much of my working career has been spent advocating for social justice with reference to mental health. So that's my position in relation to the topic. Now, the theme of justice is a thread running throughout the Judeo-Christian Bible. And here are some examples. In Micah 6:8, the text sets out how justice is divinely mandated, saying, "What does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy." We are commanded to defend the oppressed and stand up for the widow and the fatherless in Isaiah 1:17, when it says, "Learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow." And in Proverbs, when it says, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy." In other words, we are called to speak out against injustice and to support calls to alleviate poverty and want. And the ancient text in the Old Testament commands us to carry out the redistribution of economic goods. In Leviticus 19:9-10, we are told to leave over extra in the fields for the poor and the, quote, foreigner. That is to accept that a portion of one's own goods are reserved for those who do not have enough. So it's clear from biblical texts that one form of justice called for is to alleviate want. But is that sufficient? Is that the type of social justice that we aspire to today? Well, let me talk briefly about the utilitarian philosophers and their approach. Utilitarian philosophers such as Jeremy Bentham, John Stuart Mill, and Henry Sidgwick advocated for a more expansive view of justice than this minimalist one of simply alleviating want. From a utilitarian perspective, the primary goal of social justice is to maximize the overall happiness of the population, or, as you might know the phrase, to achieve the greatest happiness of the greatest number. So this involves, you know, in practice, considering the impacts of policies and actions on the well-being of the entire population. And there are two core principles in this utilitarian social justice: impartiality. Everyone should have the same right to happiness. That's a good one. And consequentialism. That is, social justice should be judged entirely by its outcomes. That is, we will know when we have achieved social justice by the outcomes we achieve as a society. However, there are some problems with this utilitarian approach. For one, it does not protect each individual's rights, since it focuses on aggregate happiness. So the Stanford Encyclopedia of Philosophy notes that utilitarian theory seems unable to capture justice's demand that each should receive what is due to her, regardless of the total amount of benefit this generates. To me, that's a significant problem. I want a version of justice that protects each individual's rights, not just the whole. A related problem with utilitarian justice is that this view could allow for actions that actually harm or disadvantage a small number of people, even though it benefits a larger number. So long as the overall result is improvement across the whole population, you get where this is going. But for example, it could justify tax breaks for the middle class while increasing taxes on some smaller targeted group of the population, say students, for example, as long as the overall level of happiness would improve. Again, that just doesn't seem satisfactory to me. I want a type of social justice that is better for each individual and also and especially for the least advantaged. So where can we look? Well, a contrary view of social justice was developed by the liberal political philosopher John Rawls. He's the author of a seminal work called A Theory of Justice, which was published in 1971, updated in 1985, and as recently as 2001, which in my lifetime, 2001 is still fairly recent, not everyone's. Rawls comes from a perspective of seeing justice as having to do with fairness. So if we think of fairness as a concept that usually refers to treating people equally or in a way that is right and reasonable. So this is a procedural form of social justice. It emphasizes process, making sure that the process is fair. Rawls' work is rooted in the liberal philosophical tradition, seeing that society requires cooperation in order for free and equal citizens to live decent lives. Social statuses are arbitrary, so people should not be advantaged by them, so that the fact that a citizen was born rich or white or male provides no reason in itself for the citizen to be favored by social institutions. This, I think, makes sense to us. He has two major principles in his philosophy. Firstly, the liberty principle. So this is similar to a utilitarian starting point. That is, everyone has an equal right to basic liberties like freedom of speech, freedom of movement, the rights to vote, to hold public office. That makes sense. But importantly, Rawls prioritizes this principle over the distribution of economic goods. So this contrasts his position, for example, with, say, a socialist or Marxist view. We'll come back to Marxism in a second. Rawls' second principle is the one that is really innovative. This is the difference principle. He proposes that social and economic inequalities are only justified if they benefit the least advantaged members of society. So this is a defense of liberalism. It does allow for social and economic inequalities, but it also opens the window for the biblical exhortations to solidarity with people who are disadvantaged. It doesn't, though, reflect an absolute equality of outcome. It creates a context for expressions and actions of solidarity, because in practice, the most well-off have to consider how their position benefits the least well-off. So it does create a kind of we are all in it together situation, as contrasted with, for example, a libertarian view, each in it for themselves. Rawls' version of social justice also incorporates fair equality of opportunity, so it requires that citizens with the same talents And I say citizens because that's his term. We might want to think of it differently. But citizens with the same talents and willingness to use them have the same educational opportunities and opportunities for work. But there are still weaknesses in this approach and criticisms that have been and can be made of it. Firstly, it does remain in this liberal economic framework. So it does not go as far as a Marxist or neo-Marxist view. We can recall Marx's famous dictum that in a communist society, it should be organized so as to realize the goals of producing and distributing goods from each according to their abilities to each according to their needs. So again, quoting from the Stanford Encyclopedia of Philosophy, socialists often affirm an idea of community or solidarity, according to which people should organize their economic life so that they treat the freedom and well-being of others as intrinsically significant. People should recognize positive duties to support other people, or as Einstein put it, a sense of responsibility for their fellow men, that's sick men. Other criticisms of this liberal view of social justice relate to the social movements that developed in the 20th century. In the mid to late 20th century, social movements articulated that a liberal view could continue to exclude some people. Feminists critiqued the theory as neglecting family relations, caring responsibilities, and how these shape gender inequalities. Black people articulated how such theories neglect racism as a fundamental structure underpinning inequality for people of color in predominantly white societies. Disability rights campaigners identified that ableist structures in society created disability, developing a social model of disability that called for universal design and accommodation of impairments in settings such as education, work, and even places of worship. And LGBT plus theorists articulated new approaches to social justice that related not to the distribution of goods and opportunities, but to the recognition of their identity. And furthermore, indigenous peoples started to organize around native rights, including the right to practice their religion, secure their culture, and not to have their culture misappropriated. So, with this morning's talk, I have sought to explore some of the conceptualizations of social justice that we might draw upon as Unitarians. The idea of justice is a thread running through Unitarian practice, and the biblical aspiration is to let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. There are a variety of conceptions of justice to draw upon, and I've only touched on some of them. The versions of justice I've discussed are all very Western-centric. There are other versions of justice we can consider from other cultures, other peoples. Which concepts of justice do you assume when you sing about it? Is it that traditional Judeo-Christian version of ameliorating want and helping the needy? Is it the utilitarian view that we should aim for maximizing the happiness of everyone as a whole? The liberal version, that everyone should have an equal opportunity for happiness, and that we should consider all of our actions in relation to those most disadvantaged? Or do you think about the cultural imperialism of our society in forms of colonialism, sexism, racism, disableism, and heteronormism? These are questions worth answering if we are to act on the words we sing and pray.